First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't generate amusing holiday cards, but it will personalize career paths for your people and let you know which suppliers are best, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, December 1st. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. If you've been scrolling through job search sites, you may have noticed a growing number of postings for the role of prompt engineer. That's someone who writes prompts that go into a generative AI chatbot like ChatGPT or Google's Bard to extract the best information. Think AI whisperer. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, applied for a prompt engineer position, and she'll join us later to tell us what that was like and if she ultimately got the job or not. But starting with some headlines, Tesla has delivered its first Cybertruck pickups to customers. Here's CEO Elon Musk at the event yesterday.
These are the actual owners. We're handing over production Cybertrucks to their actual owners. Thank you for buying Cybertruck.
The deliveries came after a two-year delay, but did customers get what was touted at the truck's unveiling 4 years ago? The entry-level model starts at about $61,000. That's roughly $21,000 more than was previously specified. It will also sell two other high-end versions, the most expensive starting at nearly $100,000. For the battery range, the Cybertruck can travel up to 340 miles on a single charge. Tesla initially said 500 miles. On its website, the automaker says an add-on could increase the range to 470 miles. Musk had warned pricing and the truck's specifications would change due to inflation and other factors. The Cybertruck is Tesla's first new passenger vehicle model in more than 3 years. Staying with EVs, the United Auto Workers has launched one of the largest union organizing drives in its history, and it's targeting nearly 150,000 workers at 13 automakers, including electric vehicle makers Tesla and Rivian. Here's UAW President Sean Fain speaking early last week in an interview with the Associated Press.
The membership's number one in all this, and you know, it's a lot on your mind when you're going through this process, but I feel good about where we are and where we're headed.
Elon Musk has said he disagrees with the idea of unions, and Rivian declined to comment. The UAW tried over the past decade to unionize Tesla factories, but has been unsuccessful. Meta's Threads could be coming to Europe this month. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Threads is the Facebook parent's microblogging service, which rivals X, formerly known as Twitter. Meta released Threads worldwide in July, but withheld launching in the European Union because of its regulations for online services. To comply with those regulations, Meta will give EU users the choice to use Threads purely to see posts without having to create a profile to make their own posts. One independent tech analyst says the move could bring in approximately 40 million additional monthly users for Threads next year. However, it still trails behind X. Threads has about 73 million monthly global users, and X has 365 million, according to analytics firm Sensor Tower. And OpenAI's new board is in place, and it includes an observer role for major investor Microsoft. The new board's initial three members were decided as part of CEO Sam Altman's return last week, after the previous board abruptly fired him. Its priorities include creating an independent committee to review the events around Altman's ouster and working to reassure stakeholders about the company's future. Altman, as part of his return, agreed not to have a place on the board. Coming up, talking to chatbots like ChatGPT or Bard is now a $200,000 job. We'll explain what you should know before applying. That's after the break.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't help you generate cubist versions of your family's holiday photos. But it will help you understand which supplier is best to help you roll out your plant-based packaging in Southeast Asia, or identify the training your junior project manager needs to rise up the ranks, and automate repetitive tasks while you focus on big innovations, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
The rise of generative artificial intelligence chatbots has paved the way for a new kind of tech job, prompt engineer. And like many roles in the industry, it brings in a pretty penny. If you've come across this title on job search sites and have been wondering what applying for it is like, well, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, did just that. And she's with me now to tell us about her experience. Joanna, start by explaining to us, what is a prompt engineer?
Well, a prompt engineer is somebody who writes prompts, the words that go into a system like ChatGPT or Bard, and writes them in a way that makes the systems deliver the best result. And really, one of the best ways I heard it described is it's programming, but in the English language. You're using those words to get the best out of these AI systems.
And the question I'm sure a lot of people are wondering is, how much does this job pay?
As you said, I applied, and if you could see me right now, you'd see me doing air quotes because this company was in on it. The company's name is Hevia. They're an AI startup in New York City. And they told me that this job could go up to $250,000 a year. And also when I searched on LinkedIn and Indeed, I saw thousands of listings for this type of job where the pay range was between $100,000 to $200,000. So you're definitely hitting six figures with this job.
Okay, so then how did you prepare to apply for this job?
My idea here really was to better understand this job. Let me try to go apply to one of them and get a better sense of what this job really is. And then also I decided to take a course, a Coursera class on prompt engineering. And it is taught by a wonderful professor named Jules White. And he, in his day job, is an associate computer science professor at Vanderbilt University.
And as you were taking those classes, did you learn anything about this role that surprised you?
Yeah, one of the things that I really learned from the course, and it's a six-week course, but what the professor does is take you basically through these different types of prompts, ways of talking to the chatbot to elicit the best response. Basically, the idea is that if you tweak the input that you're putting into ChatGPT or one of these other large language models, you're going to get the best output. And so they teach a few different approaches. For instance, one of them is called the persona prompt. And that's when you're basically telling the AI system to assume a role, a persona. For instance, act as an assistant helping a financial analyst. And so then when you ask a question, the bot will frame that response in that role. There's also one called the new information prompt. Some of these large language models have only been programmed on data up to a certain time. So with this, you can feed it some new information, copy and paste, say, an earnings transcript, and say, here's a transcript of Microsoft's last earnings call. Summarize all the mentions of AI and Bing in five bullets.
What was the application process like? Did you have to take a test of some sort?
So as I said, the company was in on this, but they did give me a test that they tend to give many prompt engineers that are coming in to interview. And Hevia, this company, makes a tool called Matrix, and it allows financial institutions and other businesses to analyze huge amounts of documents, contracts, filings, earnings transcripts. And instead of a person sifting through this, AI helps you. It can summarize and pull out key points. So they had me write some of the prompts that one of their clients might want. And specifically, they had structured this around Microsoft earnings. The AI system has the latest Microsoft earnings transcript call in it. I was then tasked with writing some prompts around Microsoft earnings, knowing what kind of data you might want to pull out from that kind of call. And so I was really pretty good at that. I've listened to my fair share of earnings calls. So I was, I would say, passed that part of the test. But then it turned out that they also, for this type of role, really did want to have somebody who has some knowledge, at least a level of proficiency in coding. So that's where I fell short.
So does that mean you did not get the job at this company?
I'm sorry to say to everyone on this podcast, I am still a columnist at the Wall Street Journal. I did not get this job as a prompt engineer, but I would say that I learned a ton about how important it is to have the skills of a prompt engineer in pretty much most jobs now that are going to be interacting with these AI chatbots. And especially through the Coursera class, I learned quite a few prompts and ways of interacting and typing into these systems that will benefit me in my day job. So you're stuck with me.
I'm sure the journal is glad that you're sticking with us. So, Joanna, does this mean that prompt engineering is a job that's going to be staying with us for a while?
Certainly, the people I spoke to say prompt engineering is here to stay. And it is certainly going to be a job over the next couple of years. But what I really think it is a skill. And I think we're going to see more and more people adding this to their resume, saying proficient in prompt engineering, because it might not be your sole job, but you might have another job where you do need to interact with these AI chatbots and lean on the chatbots for summarizing or just making you more efficient at your job. And you're going to want to have these prompts. You're going to want to know how to communicate with these systems in the most efficient way possible.
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang. We had additional support this week from Anthony Bansi. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Our deputy editors are Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend.